Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Holy Ghost Radio Show, a spirit-filled show with a prophetic mandate to reach the lost and impact God's people with biblical and revelation knowledge. We pray that the Word of God will make a difference in the lives of every listener. So tell a family member, friend, and a neighbor to tune into this life-changing message. Be blessed.
Well, hello once again. I am your host, Tiana Copeland. Welcome again to Holy Ghost Radio Show, Round 3 with Apostle Bowman and Prophetess Sharonda Riley out of Memphis, Tennessee. It has been a blessing. This is the third night, and we are going to continue with our dreams and vision and prophetic and what God is saying in these last days. I want you to help me welcome Prophetess and Apostle. How are you doing today?
Hi, how are you?
We are good. We are good. I'm a little nervous because of the election. I almost canceled this show, but, you know, we got to finish it out because, you know, either way it go, God has the last say so. But I just want to continue with you guys where we left off at last night. I know Apostle was saying that he wanted to talk about Day Spring, and I'm really, really excited to hear about that. So, Apostle, you can go ahead and do your thing.
Amen.
Wow. Well, I even have to say I've been blessed just the past 2 days that we've been on, and I thank God for you not canceling for the sake of the election, because there may be somebody that may need to be healed tonight. Mm-hmm. And that's something that an election can't fix. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
You know, only Jesus. People got to remember God is in control.
That's right.
I don't care what happens. God has the final say. So really was saying that I've really just been blessed just being only the past 2 days. And oh, my God, the people that have been reaching out. And, I mean, it's such a hunger for God, for the things of God, which is refreshing. It's so refreshing in a time where everything seems so synthetic and so make-believe and unreal and surreal, that God is still, he's still very much on the throne and still very much in charge. And you guys who are tuning in, I don't know if you had the opportunity to catch the past 2 nights. You can online. Praise God for that.
Yes.
Other shows have been recorded. But the one testimony about the young lady that had the lump in her breast, and I just really want to reshare that because that's a testimony. That's a testimony.
Yes, it was.
Because we were on our way to service and had to decide, well, which, you know, what's going on? Holy Ghost, what you want us to do? And when we saw you putting everything out, I said, well, that must be it. And we stuck with that decision. And she told us the story. And, you know, she was in tears. You know, the enemy really was trying to play a lot of scare tactics. And I remember saying it was just burning in me, even while Prophetess was praying and prophesying to her. It was just burning in me. I just kept chiming out. You go back, you're not going to find it. The doctors are not going to find it.
Yeah.
And I don't know where you are on this radio show tonight, but I'm here to let you know that whatever the enemy has left, any residue or any plant or any foreign thing that does not belong, that is around you, in you, costing you, anything that the enemy has left any prints on, God said it will not prosper. And I'm here to tell you tonight, the thing that came to kill you, I'm telling you, it won't be able to. It can't take you out.
Yeah.
It cannot take you out.
Mm-mm-mm.
So I really just wanted to piggyback and really introduce, because we were talking about dreams and visions. And I think one of the last questions, I didn't get a chance to hop on because we ran out of so much time. One thing I wasn't able to hop on was about the open vision.
Yes.
And, you know, closed vision.
Mm-hmm.
And really to take that up.
Yes, because I think I did ask a question about that last night.
Yes.
Okay.
I know about a lot of times we have visions sitting still, but the way I kind of, wow, the way I kind of envision open visions is really when God takes you to the experience before it happens. You know, a vision you can see, but an open vision is almost like you live it out before it happens. And a lot of times that's what we call our, you know, moments of awakening or deja vu. Somebody, some people call it a muse, but a lot of us in the kingdom of God call it confirmation.
Yeah.
And when it comes forth, it's I would say that an open vision is a little deeper than a confirmation. I remember being in the car one day, and I was driving down the road. I don't know about you guys, but a lot of times the Holy Ghost catches me up. And I was in the car, and I was driving in the Jeep, driving down the expressway. And, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Let me finish this story. I just felt something. I just felt something. My God. My God. Something just shifted in the heavenlies. Thank you, Jesus.
Ooh, Jesus.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. I gotta be obedient. This is Holy Ghost Radio Show, so I gotta obey.
Yeah.
But God,
yeah.
Right now, in this hour of perfection, in this hour of new beginning, even on the East Coast, I pray for the nation, Father. I pray for the nation. Hallelujah. God, that we would find our knees, not arguing, but we would find our faces and our knees in this hour. I don't know why this feels like a New Year's Eve or New Year's, like we're going into a new year or new era, but God, I pray for the nation tonight. I pray for those in authority on tonight. God, that we live a quiet and peaceable life. God, I pray, God, you know, God, that the heart of the king is in your hand, and you can turn it whichever way you want it to go. God,
yes.
I thank you, God, that heaven rules in the affairs of men. And, God, we give the election over to you. I really haven't seen too many people do that. But we give the election over to you, because at the end of the day, we can cast our ballots, but you are the one that decides what you allow and what you ordain and what you want to have to be. So, God, we cover the body of Christ. We cover those in the governmental system. We cover those, God, in the school system. We cover those, God, oh, God, in the financial system. God, we cover those, God, on Wall Street. God, we cover those, God, down to Monument Street. God, oh, God, even right here in Memphis, God. God, we cover those, God, around the world, God, and in the nation, Father God, that right now, God, that what is most important is what you have to say. And, God, what you have to say is what you're going to do. God, I thank you right now, God, for your will being complete in our life. I thank you, Lord God, for leading us in the way everlasting. I thank you for understanding, God, coming in this time, God, that right now in the moment when everyone is paying attention to the election, Father God, that they would not forget to keep praying after the election. God, that their prayers are more important after the election than they are tonight. God, I thank you, God, that in this hour, God, where people are losing heart and confusion is hitting their minds and they're ending up into quarrels and arguments, Father God, that you would breath intercessors on tonight. God, that you would breath watchmen. God, you would breath gatekeepers. God, you would breath those, God, that will cry out and spare not. And lift up their voice like a trumpet. God, I decree and declare tonight victory for the people of God. I decree and declare tonight victory, God, over the United States. God, I pray even now for Israel. God, I pray, God, because you said, God, and so goes Israel, so goes the rest of the world. And
yes,
God, while nobody is paying attention, God, let us pay attention in the realm of the spirit. God, because right now America has its pants down. They're not paying attention to the weather. They're not paying attention to the spirit realm. Father God, let us keep our ears sharpened to what you are saying and what you're doing in this hour in the name of Jesus. And we decree and declare to be so, be so, be so. In every state, in every city, that whatever happens, God, we'll say whatever my life, God, thou has caused me to say, it is well with my soul.
Ah, Jesus.
My God. And we give you the praise because the righteous can't be deceived. The righteous can't be taken out. And God is still in control. Hallelujah. Oh, we bind the enemy. We bind Satan. My God. My God. Because there are some things leaking into our faith that ought not to be. God, we have said more about this election than we've said about anything about Jesus Christ to people that are living right next door to us. God, I ask you right now, God, you would make us a witness.
Yes, Lord.
A witness for you, God. Oh, Jesus. Not just on paper, but out of our mouth, God. God, we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that you are the Savior, not just of our lives, but of the people that don't know you.
Yes.
This is a time for evangelism like never before.
Yes,
God,
Lord.
Right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We give you the glory, God. Ah,
yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Oh, Yarabashana, in the Namasik and the Rabasha, righteousness exalts a nation and sin is a reproach to any people.
Yeah.
We give you glory, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Ha. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ooh, now maybe we can go on. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We give
yes,
you praise, God.
Ah.
Thank you. Ooh. Thank you, Lord. My God, my God, my God, my God. But as I was saying, with an open vision, God takes you to the experience. I was driving down the road, and the whole expressway turned into what I saw was snow. And the snow was starting to fall, and at the end of the snowballs, it looked like fire.
Yes.
And I just began to pray. Mandi obasha. Lord Jesus, and it just took me back. I remember, I believe it was last week when I was first, or 2 weeks ago when I was first on the show, and that happened in 2009. God just brought that back to me to a dream I had 2 weeks ago about a volcano or about an explosion. And I thought it was snow falling, but it was ash. And it was fire. God just confirmed something for me right then. So a lot of times, sometimes they'll laugh at me because I can be out in public, out the buffet or whatever, and God will take, he'll literally take me up in the spirit. And you got to remember, a lot of times when God shows you, a lot of times God will allow you to have open visions to help you to believe what he said when a lot of times you don't believe or you're not focused.
Yeah.
What he said, God begins to send visions. He said, okay, you don't believe what I said, let me show you. And a lot of times, not just visions, but open visions come without permission.
Wow. Yeah.
It just, God just allows them. Because if it wasn't, some of us, you know, who dream a lot and have visions, sometimes we kind of put God on a discipline and kind of reprimand God about having so many, and God, I'm so weird, and why I got to have all this. But we really need to thank God, because a lot of times it's God allowing us to know what is going to happen before it happens.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
We were ministering to a young lady, and she was talking about, you know, why do I see? Why do I have to see? Ooh, Jesus.
Ooh,
and you have to see. You would rather see than be blind. I can tell you that. Because if you can see, you make, you know, bless God, because you are one of the few that can.
That can, exactly.
So I just think that's important, really, really of note, you know, before we go any deeper, that visions and dreams are important, and God's allowing it because no one is teaching. We're preaching, a lot of preaching, but no one is discipling. You know, no one's talking about stewardship. I remember coming up in church, and y'all just, forgive me, I came up, you know, 85 and 89. We was in church, and our pastor taught on from those years. I remember seeing a flyer in our church that taught about stewardship class. Taught about, you know, discipleship, what it meant to be a disciple of Christ, not of the pastor, but of Christ, not of the organization, but of Christ, you know, not of a movement, or a particular speaker, but of Christ. And I think we're losing God's allowing things to happen to bring us back to a personal relationship that is ruled by the Lord, not just the Savior Jesus Christ, but the Lord Jesus Christ. So I just think that that's important as really to make mention. God is allowing us to have dreams and visions to counteract what's going on in the earth, because the enemy really don't want us to see. He doesn't want us to hear. And we're going to see more of an attack on the true body of Christ from the religious church, from church folk who walk by sight instead of by faith. You know, and that's where we are.
Wow. Well, you know, I don't want to go off the question, but I got to ask you a question, because I was talking to someone today, and they was talking about the prophetic, and they were saying that it was a school that someone went to, and make a long story short, that person begins to teach on the prophetic, if I'm getting it right, and they were activating them, and what the person would do was tell somebody to stand behind them, and you had to, like, just prophesy that way, and that person really didn't feel comfortable with that. Can you kind of explain, when it comes to activating in the prophet, how does that really go? Because from my understanding, you can't just, you can, but you can't. You don't always have a word for someone.
Yes.
So.
Oh, my God. I tell you, prophets, you got some of the best questions on planet Earth. I'm not lying. Wow. I really have to come from my experience. Thank you, Jesus. When I was brought through, you know, School of the Prophets, and really through what it came out of, actually somewhere out of Bill Hammond's School of Ministry, School of the Holy Spirit. And it was a satellite class that came out of Pensacola, Florida.
But this is, okay, now, the question I'm asking you, they say this person went to his school.
Right. Okay. Well, you got to understand, everybody, you know, some people's head goes, but sometimes their heart don't go. And sometimes, you know, it doesn't matter where we go. If you don't keep up the same practice, if you don't apply what you've been taught, then sometimes you can impose or impart your spirit on somebody rather than the spirit of the Lord.
Okay.
And sometimes people end up reproducing themselves rather than reproducing Christ.
Okay.
So then all your followers and people behind you start looking like you, rather than looking like Christ.
Exactly.
You know? So when I was going through my experience, I was pretty much done the same thing, you know? They recognized the gift on me, and they say, you know what, this is more than a gift. This is the office budding in your life. So I'm going to activate you right now, and I want you to prophesy to me. And I looked at the audience, and then I looked back at my pastor, and I whispered to her, because I didn't know nothing about it. I was a teenager. And I looked at her, and I said, I know it's in me, you know, I know that's on me, that gift or whatever I said, but I can't prophesy to you because I don't know how to tell the future. And you have a lot of people who don't understand the prophetic, mixing it up with the psychic because of what they've seen and what they've never been taught. And it's really, you can be, what I'm saying is you can be taught all day long, but what most of the body of Christ is missing anyway is the experience. And my prayer is always, God, take me to the experience. I didn't prophesy that day. I didn't prophesy or move even in words of knowledge that day. It would be 2 years later that my gift would really open up.
Wow.
Because trouble is really your activator. Transition and trouble and trials activate you in the prophetic. It's not somebody just imparting and here it comes. You don't really start walking in it until you go through prophetic incubation. And that's when God allows everything that could and would to come up against your life so that you can be processed into that call. So I really would encourage that person not to be disappointed in the person, but not in God. Because everybody's teaching style isn't the same. And some people can be a little overbearing, and it really takes time. It's just like deliverance. You can't come out until God wants you out. You really want to tell the truth. We don't pick and choose. You know, you can choose to be delivered, but if God decides for it to stay around a little bit longer so somebody else can come out or so more people can come out. Mm-hmm. God will process you while he allows other people to be birthed in the kingdom at the same time. So, mm-hmm. you know, I hope I'm answering the question correctly.
Yeah.
But
I have another question, but before I do that, I want to just let everyone know, if you have a question or you need prayer or anything, please press 1 when you call in. Okay, I have another question about the prophetic. Can you explain to the people what's the difference between the spirit of prophecy, the gift, and the office? Because I'm noticing a lot of people calling themselves prophets, and they're not even really in the office.
Yes. Some people are calling themselves prophets, and they're not even in the spirit of prophecy. Some people just be assuming.
They're not even in the spirit
of prophecy, not even a gift. But the major difference is, I'm so glad you brought that up, because mm-hmm. that's why we're in trouble right now. because someone, ha, glory, somebody more powerful than you has to activate you.
Yes.
You can't come by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't step my, I am a prophet, and I'm going to come forth, and I have a word for you. It didn't happen like that. And most prophets, when they find out they are prophets, wish they weren't called.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Because it is a responsibility. It's not a performance.
Yes, right.
And I think people, Jesus, it's just like a governmental position. It's just like being inaugurated for president. It's no different. It's an
mm-hmm.
office. And I really want to start there. Usually I start with the spirit of prophecy. But I'll start with the spirit of prophecy, just so people really can get the basic understanding. The spirit of prophecy is really, you know, we read in Revelation where it says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And really what that is, meaning that the Holy Spirit has come down and is doing a work in the body of Christ so
mm-hmm.
that everyone that is a believer, part of the body of Christ, can prophesy. The spirit of prophecy is more like an atmosphere. It is an atmosphere conducive for God to speak through whomever. And usually when people prophesy out of the spirit of prophecy, most times it's edification, it's
mm-hmm.
exhortation, it's God speaking to his church. It's not really that deep. It's
mm-hmm.
really a lot of encouragement and exhortation when it's the spirit of prophecy. Very
mm-hmm.
few times when the spirit of prophecy hits a church do people come forth and give predictive prophecies. So the spirit of prophecy is really an atmosphere. Then you have the gift of prophecy, which is one of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that, you know, and the, some are vocal gifts, some are power gifts, and the others are, let me remember, vocal gifts, power gifts, and I'm trying to remember the other one. It'll come back to me.
Is it Revelation, I think?
Thank you.
Yes.
Revelation.
Yeah.
And and that's really one of them. You know, that's one of actually the spoken gifts or the vocal gifts, because
mm-hmm.
the gift of prophecy operates as the Spirit wills. And a lot of us are in trouble because prophetess, I'm finding that a lot of people that have the gift don't
mm-hmm.
operate in it as the Spirit wills.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, and because God said that gifts and callings are without repentance, we have a lot of people, that's what psychics are. Psychics are born prophets, but since they're operating in their gift, they do whatever with their gift, what they want to. So they prostitute
mm-hmm.
it, and the enemy turns them out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and somebody can say, well, you know, those gifts belong to Satan because he can counterfeit the gifts. Yes, he can counterfeit the gifts, but he has to start with an original. The enemy doesn't own anything. What he does was he takes original things and he twists them. He
mm-hmm.
he converts them. He twists them. He perverts them.
Yeah.
And that's all they are, a gift perverted.
Wow.
And that gift has to operate as the Spirit wills. So as God gives it to you, you give it out. It's not, well, I feel a prophecy, I need to say it. Because I tell, you know, my students and my spiritual children all the time that a prophecy out of turn is worse than no prophecy at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
people got to understand prophecy is a continuum of God, of the history of what God has said.
Mm-hmm.
And you can send somebody to hell. You can send somebody backwards, messing up the continuum of time, space, and eternity by saying something not so much that God didn't say, but something that he didn't say to say now.
Exactly.
You know, so we have a lot of prophesiers that have the gift of prophecy. And a lot of us are marked by, and it's really a sad thing, the maturity of the body of Christ is, well, I hear God saying, well, God told me to tell you, well, God told me in a dream, well, when that's not the actual office and really having tapped the true spirit of the Lord, that when you really tap that office and you're really in the vein prophetically, you're going to hear a lot of I am and I will and I shall and I will do if you would. If you would come, if you would obey the Lord, he speaks in first person. He comes and he speaks as God, and you begin to speak. That's really what prophecy is. You speaking proxy as God.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know? And really, that really belongs to the office. And people have to understand that the office is one of the fivefold ministry gifts. It's one of the ascension gifts of Christ. It's a governmental gift. It's a foundational gift to the body, but it's a foundational office. Meaning that you can profit in the office of the prophet, can prophesy at any time, at any place, anywhere. Doesn't mean that God gives them the go-ahead to, but should he give them the go-ahead, they can. Because the office of the prophet is the continual function of a prophet's life. It never shuts off. I wish it did, but it doesn't.
That's right.
I'm in my sleep,
right.
I'm prophesying. When I wake up, I'm prophesying. When I'm in regular conversation, I'm bringing up stuff that God wants to do.
Wow.
Because it's an office. I can't turn it off. I'm in it. And what God is doing is a lot of these people that don't belong in the office, he's about to call them out of it. That's what they did in the Old Testament. When you was in a place too long, he sent the prophet to tell you, hey, you got X amount of days to either repent, well, God's going to come in and death's going to come to your house. But either way you slice it, you got to come down. Saul, you're not king anymore. The anointing's been stripped. The kingdom's been stripped from you. So we got to understand, you know, that prophet, the office of the prophet is a governmental gift. It's a governmental office. It's not something you wake up tomorrow or it's not something you ever ask the Lord to give you. That's nice. You can. But I really, a lot of times when we're asking God for prophetic stuff, it's really out of ignorance. Because if we really knew what we were asking for, we really wouldn't ask.
Wow.
We really wouldn't ask. You know, God, make me a prophet. Send me to the nation.
Okay.
And when he begins to send you to your neighborhood and your community, you reject him. But you can't get to the nation that you can't get to your neighbor. So God really begins to work on the inside of us about what our, and really have to bring that up too, mantles and mandates. You know, we have so many people, I got a mantle, I got my pastor's mantle, I got this mantle. But that belongs to an office. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. You can be gifted, that's great. But what is the mantle on your life? What was your, see, prophets weren't born to ask God to prophesy. Prophets were born prophesying. You were born to speak and prophesy a certain word. Like I know, in the prophetic, certain things around my scope of the prophetic deals with the priesthood. It deals with holiness. It deals with the kabod, the glory. It deals with getting people back into intimacy with God. While I know Providence's assignment isn't so much that as it is getting the people to repent and getting the people in a state of watching and praying, which is the Shamar prophet's office and the Shaphat prophet. That's what Deborah was. That's what Samuel was. So, yeah, that I would really chalk those three up to be a atmosphere, a gift that moves at the spirit wills, and then the office, which is totally ruled by God, as God, in the believer, in a governmental office.
Wow. I just really wanted you to break that down because, like I say, I talk to people all the time. And a lot of times, if you give a prophet a word, the first thing they want to say, oh, you're a prophet. Not necessarily. And a lot of times, we prophesy and don't even realize we're doing it. But they want to just put that title on you, or they feel like because they prophesy, oh, I'm a prophet. And that's not necessarily true.
Right.
Because like you said, even when I studied on the prophet, they should be able to prophesy at any time. And they don't always prophesy good stuff.
Most times they don't.
That's my point.
You
so
know,
I,
right.
You know, my thing is they always say, oh, I see you getting a house in the car. Okay, how am I going to get a house in the car? And I'm shaking.
My God.
I'm just keep, I mean, come on. So most real prophets that I know, they don't always speak the good things. They speak both.
Right. Wow. It's really because of the state of where we are. And another thing that I know God is working with the body of Christ on is that we call things nicknames.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus. And God really going to get us for that. Because there's no such thing as a sex demon. There's no such thing as a cigarette demon. There's no such thing as a Pepsi demon. There's no such thing as a Nike demon. There's no such thing as a backsliding demon. That's what we. That's what black folks say. That's what we come up with. When we need to, we always hit and attack the fruit when the tree's just standing there, just big and bold with leaves and everything, because we don't get to the root.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll say shacking when the sin is fornication.
Mm-hmm,
we'll say,
mm-hmm.
You know, oh, my God, you know, drug demon, when the sin may be crystal, you know, it may be bondage, the spirit of bondage. We need to begin to hit the strong men and get off of the cream puff puff demons and
ghosts
and stuff that don't move, because we attack that and the people leave our church. They don't come back because
mm-hmm.
there's no deliverance. No one got to the root. No one ministered to the soul. No one ministered to the person.
Mm-hmm.
They ministered to a possibility.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
And we got a lot of people leaving the church because of that, because of our ideas, and we are not really tap the prophetic, because the prophetic ought to bring people to God. It shouldn't chase them away. Even when you have a rebuke, something in that. Obeyasha, glory God. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, I was reading that yesterday. As awesome as a prophet Isaiah was, when he came into the presence of the Lord, he said, "When King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple."
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. And he saw the angels crying, "Holy, holy, holy." And then he said, "And the doorposts were moved by the voice of him." And he said, "When I saw that, I said, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips." It reminds me of Peter when he came to Jesus, and Jesus said, "Throw your net on the other side of the boat." And when they throw their net on the other side, they caught fish.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Oh, my God, Jesus, leave us alone. You don't understand. I'm undone. I'm not worthy to be in your presence. I'm not even worthy to be around you. Why would you want to be around somebody undone, unfinished, and sinful like me?"
Mm-hmm.
And only when you tap God, it brings the person to God. When they see God, it's the first thing you address itself, not cars, not how much money you need, Not the sickness even in your body. It brings you to an account of your whole life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what God really want to bring us back to, a revival, a reconciling.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame that we have so many people leaving church, but God's like, I need to get them in the kingdom. You got so many people in church, they're not even in heaven yet. They ain't even in the kingdom. We're so busy collecting our kingdoms down here. We have forgotten about God's.
Oof, Jesus, yes. Mm-mm-mm.
And what was the word? Why did he die? Jesus. The church really needs to ask themselves that question tonight. Why did Jesus die? He died for my sins. He died for more than your sins, honey.
Yes.
Oh, beloved, if we knew, they said, if they had only known what they were doing when they had crucified the Lord of glory, they wouldn't have laid a fingernail on Jesus. Because God allowed Jesus to die, not just for your sins, not just to be redeemed, but to give you power, like him, to bring you back into Genesis, to bring you back into dominion, to bring you back into the garden of God, that you can walk with God, and what you say, God backs you up 100%. Well, you become a pneumaticos man, a God man in the earth. We're so accustomed to catching mantles that we forget we got to catch God. It's catching the mantle of God. It's catching the mandate of God. It's catching the commission of God.
Wow.
Man, God's tearing up the flesh.
Yeah.
He's tired of it. He's tired of it.
You know, I got another question. But before I do that, I want to remind you guys again, if you have a question, prayer, and anything, please press 1. But I have another question for you. Do you believe in hit and miss profits? Meaning, supposed to be season profits.
I have yet to read in the Bible about a hit and miss prophet.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I think a lot of times, no prophet. There's no.
And I'm going to tell you why. I invited a friend to a service one day, and this person, supposed, it's a prophet, prophetess or whatever. I don't want to put them out there. But anyway, they begin to speak into this person's life. Now, this person is married and had on her ring. And he began to say, oh, I see your boy is coming, da-da-da-da-da-da. And then his leader came behind him and said the same thing, left the person confused. And they like, wait a minute, I got on my ring, I'm married, what do they mean? My boy is, but make a long story short, they went and they asked the person. And the person tried to make up, I don't know what kind of excuse they made up, but they tried to make up this excuse. And I'm really, really, the reason why I'm asking because I'm really big on that, because even me, I know when it comes in that area, I'm not where I should be. So I'm very cautious because I don't want to be a lying prophet and I don't want to be a hit and miss prophet.
Right.
And I know that, and I've been around a lot of prophets that hit and miss a lot.
Wow.
But these are supposed to be seasoned prophets. So I'm thinking maybe they didn't go through the process, or they just not a prophet.
Exactly.
I don't know.
It's the maturity. Really, sometimes you got to ask people, where did their anointing come from? Because hit and miss, just like the anointing is passed down, so is hit and miss.
Okay.
And when you have a lot of people that operate in manipulation and control, they pass down that hit. I've noticed that. A lot of churches that operate in that controlling spirit, that manipulation, pass down a great amount of hit and miss words because of a religious spirit. It's judgmental. It doesn't know all. So as they get close to you, they get to know some stuff. See, I remember being in a church, prophets don't live hard at this, but I was in a church, and there was a woman that it was prophesying, and there was a young girl there. Father, help me with this one, God. And the girl was at the back of the church, and she said, young lady, come here. God got a word for you. In fact, he has a rebuke. Come right now.
Woo!
And she down the aisle, and she looked the girl square in the face. She said, honey, don't you be letting them guys pass you around like that. That's a hot mess. You don't let them guys be using your body like that. Don't you be prostituting your body. You keep your pearls untainted by the mud. And keep them away from every pig you see, because you are a pearl of great price. And the girl went back and she said, I'm a virgin. I'm 14. I've never been with any man.
Wow.
And if that teenager didn't have a personal relationship with Christ, she would have left. You know, you got to mature in this thing. I'm not where I'm going, and I'm not where I've been, thank God. And you're growing in the prophetic every day. And as long as you keep your spirit in that place, you allow God to use you. But you got to make sure that the motive is pure when you prophesy. Is God speaking? Is he saying speak now? What exactly is he speaking? Because it takes faith to prophesy.
Ooh.
And a lot of us prophesy out of presumption, not faith.
Wow.
You look at somebody and think they're poor and they could be rich. You know how many people on the street homeless and are millionaires? Won't let you know it.
Yeah.
In Baltimore, I remember so many millionaires walking around the street because they didn't want to pay taxes on their millions. So they allowed themselves to look homeless. And if we don't know the tactics of the enemy, we don't really. I remember my pastor saying this, and I keep this with me. He said, when they know who you are, they'll know who you are. And he pointed in the realm of the spirit. He said, when principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world and spiritual weakness have any places to know who you are, everybody on earth will too. Your name isn't made great in the earth. Your name is made great in the heavens. And as it's made great with God, God not only gives you favor with man, but he gives you favor with God first and then favor with man. So the Jews grew in the wisdom and stature of the Lord. So I think really it's a maturing process. The prophetic is a maturing. It is a maturing process.
Yes, yes.
Every
yes.
day, every day, I'm being cut for what God wants to say out of me, for real. So even more with the apostolic, because then I can't back down. I just got to say it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're a prophet, I remember warring with that thing. Well, maybe God, I won't say. Well, I won't say it right now. Well, I'll just wait till 2 weeks from now. And God, as an apostle, he'd be like, open your mouth now. Your direct representative, open your mouth. I'm like, God, I don't want to say that. He said, okay, all right. I'd rather man come after me than God.
Yes.
So I think it really, the maturing, when we grow up and mature and people actually sit down and be taught. You got to be taught. That's what the school of prophets is for. You
yes.
can't fear it and not bring it into your church because you don't know about it. Because, oh, Jesus, what you don't know, Job said, what I feared came upon me.
Mm-hmm.
And anything you fear and don't know too much about, after
mm-hmm.
a while, it's going to mess with you.
That's right.
Because
that's
you're ignorant
right.
in that area, and we fear what we don't understand. So,
yes. I have someone on the chat line wants to ask a question. And they're saying, as I connect with prophetic people, I have noticed that there are some young prophets that seem to want the spotlight, money, and the fame. Is that a true prophet or a false prophet?
It depends on their spirit and really what God is saying. But a lot of times, the nature of prophets is braggadocious anyway. People that God has made prophets, a lot of times they have a very, very braggadocious. They're bold, you know. They're very dramatic, and if they're not mature, they become arrogant. And I think a lot of times, some of the younger people that are prophets in training, or really what I like to call prophets in transition, really have to understand the importance of receiving a spiritual inheritance, not necessarily from someone. But get it from God and allow God to give it to that leader and for that leader, for God to use that leader in your life so that you'll be seasoned and mature. And, you know, I'm 28. I'm young. Praise the Lord. But
yeah.
I started very early, where most people get saved around 38 and they come to Christ because they've lived their life. You know,
yeah.
I didn't have that opportunity. I was born in the pew, you know. I got that testimony, you know, I was having church before I was having church.
Yeah.
I was in church before I was in church, you know what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
I was born into the church, and not church religiosity stuff, but where church where we didn't turn out until God finished doing what he was going to do.
Yes, Lord.
You know, I remember those days. I remember those Bible studies were turned into services, for real, for real.
Yes.
And you leave a 7 o'clock service at 4 a.m. because God started laying, you know, folk out and people started purging and really coming forth. And they got delivered. These people look new the next time you saw them.
Wow.
You know, so I think a lot of times it's arrogance and not really being taught. And, you know, I hear from God. So, you know, but everyone that hears from the Lord, you're going to have to hear from somebody that's heard from him first.
That's right.
A little bit more experience than you do to bring you up to that level. Like I said, you don't go to levels by yourself. You have to be brought there. Either someone is bringing you up or somebody's bringing you down.
Yeah.
But either way, you're being brought by someone that has been where you've been.
Yes. Well, I do have someone want to come on live on the show as for the question or prayer. But I just want to let you guys know again, they really want you guys to ask questions. If you have any questions, please send it
any question.
Any question you want to ask, send it on chat, or you can just press the number one. So I'm going to take this first caller. Hello, caller. You're on the line. Hello?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm fine.
I want to know the difference. Well, not necessarily the difference. I hear a lot of people saying that they are seers, and then there are some saying prophets. And I already know that all seers can be prophets, but not all prophets can be seers. Mm-hmm. But how can one readily identify if they are a prophet or a seer?
Wow. That's kind of like a twofold answer. And that kind of goes in with the office of the prophet. The office is kind of designated between, you know, two words, and one of those words, because I know the Old Testament word for prophet was seer, and that word is shoze, or the word ra'ah, and it means to behold or beholder of visions. And then you have what is the official prophet, which is navi or nabi, and that is to proclaim or to bubble forth. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times we confuse it because those seers are prophets, and not all prophets can see. Because I know a lot of prophets that just hear, they don't have a whole lot of dreams and visions. But when I was called as a seer prophet. So while somebody else's warfare was about their hearing, my warfare was about hearing, seeing, smelling, touching, everything, dreams, visions, colors, numbers, all that. I had to decipher and discern all that. So, but what made me different from the regular seer is the stature and the anointing on that person, because it's a very strong, almost like, you know, prophets remind me of principals in elementary school. Very, 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 very hard, really, be honest. And God kind of gives them that nature to get the point across. Look, God ain't playing with you. But a lot of seers, I notice, they see, but they don't necessarily really prophesy what they see. They just kind of describe what they see and tell what they see and see what God is going to do. But a lot of times, see, the command that's on a prophet is not necessarily on a seer. Though seers are a type of prophet, they're not necessarily always prophesying. A lot of times they'll describe what they see, but describing what you see isn't necessarily prophecy or prophesying. So the nature of the anointings are different. You know, even there's some people that we have marked prophets that are really just strong intercessors.
Yes.
Because intercessors and psalmists can tap the prophetic realm. And back in the day when people really weren't taught, you know, they label you anything. You prophesy one good time and you keep doing it right. They label you a prophet. But then after that warfare starts hitting you, you realize, oh, wait a second, I'm just a teacher. I'm just a pastor. Oh, my God, help. You know, so there's an anointing that comes to fulfill and equip with that office. So I think the difference really is the nature of the anointing and what is being said out of that vessel.
Okay. Well, how, if someone wanted to recognize within themselves, how could you explain to them to go about, would you explain them to go about
in
prayer or, huh?
You're a seer prophet.
Yeah, I am.
You see a lot. Yeah, I hope that answers your question. You're a seer prophet. Seeing it in yourself, you're seeing. and not only are you seeing, see, I knew I was different. There were other people in my church that were seers, but God wasn't giving them a word behind what they were seeing. And a lot of times I can't see anything without hearing a scripture bubble up or something come up in my script, and I got to say that too. Prophets aren't the Bible, but prophets, you better know the Bible.
Yeah,
you can't prophesy and you don't know the word.
Mm-hmm.
We got so many people. I see this. I told them the other day about that, and I'll be done. But there was a woman that was prophesying. She told the pastor, "Pastor, I see a table, and on this table I see a hammer, and I see a plate, and on the plate there's a spider. What am I supposed to do about that?" And the pastor said, "Pick up the hammer and kill the spider that's on the plate." and don't ever bring that up ever again. He said, because that's not edifying anybody. I've seen so many people. The lady got up. I had a school of prophets. Every time I tell it, they laugh at me. But a lady got up. She actually got up, and she told a lady, God said he's going to part your problems like he used Abraham to part the Red Sea.
Oh.
And then she stopped. And the whole church looked at her, and she turned back around, realizing she said, oh, my God, the Lord has made an error.
Ooh.
She said it wasn't Abraham that parted the Red Sea, but it was Moses. Give him praise. And I said, God, this can't keep going on. You got folk prophesying stuff that ain't you, about to break folk necks, just pushing them back in, into their skull. I'm like, Lord help. You know, we gotta go. That's what, I got to say that again, that's what prophetic training is for. It's sad that very few people are still doing that. That amazes me. We got so many people prophesying, but not so many schools, you know. And, you
right.
know, and it seems like the more prophetic schools pop up, the more people are in confusion because people aren't actually instructing. They're just getting up, giving you prophetic information and expecting you to leave and have it all. And it doesn't work like that.
That's
you got to
right.
be trained. You got to be activated. You got to be taught how to hear and how to decipher what you hear. So, you know, yeah.
Wow.
Great.
All right. That's all you need to ask him?
I just got one more.
Go ahead.
Go right ahead.
Because I actually went through a prophetic. I actually went through two, which I didn't need either one to activate the gift because God did it in his own timing when I didn't want him to do it, when I thought I wasn't prepared. But I'm trying to figure out how to do it. If people are constantly calling you or pulling on the anointing and you just, let's just put like, I just don't feel comfortable. My spirit man does not rest. So it's like people are pulling me and they want me to go do certain things or participate in certain areas, in certain arenas. And because they are close or they may be a friend or they may be a leader that I trust or love, but I found recently that a lot of these leaders are being blinded by the enemy and they're literally taking us out the pasture because they're putting us before too many wolves and sheep clothing. And then
wow.
I think it's all these prophetic schools are popping up. The last one that I was supposedly in, he didn't teach us anything. He actually raped us. He didn't teach us, but then he wanted to single out some people saying, you're a master prophet. That's okay. I've never seen that in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody has to explain master prophet to me, I know there are major prophets and there are minor prophets, but I've never heard of a master prophet. So, you know,
wow.
People are actually going out labeling. I actually had someone to take me and call me a master prophet. I said, the devil is a liar.
My
you need
God.
To play that game. No.
No.
I'm a prophet by right. I was born into the prophetic. I didn't ask for it. I ain't even running after it. I've been running from it for almost 30 years, okay? I've been running from it. But how is the proper way for you to just say no when you know that your spirit is going to be grieved because my spirit has been grieved too many times that I've gone and then I'm like, okay, God, you're going
to
whoop me for this.
Well,
how can you just...
you got to stop running because if you keep running, it's really just going to get, it's going to intensify and it's really going to get on your nerves then. And it's really not to anybody to let them know, hey, I'm a prophet. I finally came out. Come on, y'all, get your prophecies. You know, it's not like that. It's really telling God, I'm okay. I accept this. I fully receive this, whether anybody else sees it. And really what's going to happen when you really, really fully accept it, people are going to stop pulling on you like that. But really, God really is really trying to get you to really receive it all the way. He really is. But a lot of this pulling on you is going to stop. Wow, when you really receive it, when you really, really accept it. I know it's getting on your nerves, but but a lot of times, sometimes we just got to cut some folk off because I know some folk I just kind of leave alone because every time I got with them, it was, you know, I made you some toast. Jesus, what is he saying? You know, and I'm like, God, I didn't come over here for this. you know, and then we also got to understand that we're bond servants, so you're not prophesying because it's convenient for you. Sometimes it's very inconvenient when God has you to prophesy, but you're just like the mailman. You don't go because you want to. You go because there's a message that needs to be sent. So, you know, but I think really once you fully accept it and receive it, it'll stop getting on your nerves as much and people stop pulling as much.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, or whatever, prophetess.
Hey, I just wanted to kind of add along to that. When you run, that's the worst thing you could do. I just want to share my experience really quickly, how, you know, God has called me to this office really since birth. You know, it's something you don't wait until you're like 15 years old and then God say, oh, I think I'm going to call you to be a prophet. And, you know, you can use scripture according to Jeremiah 1, which is when people want to prove that they're a prophet. That's one of the first scriptures everybody and their mama run to. But when I tell you, this is a thing from birth, you know. I just remember, even as a little girl, seeing everything. And one thing that I discovered that Prophetess Tiana and I have in common, and when we talked about it and I realized we had this in common, I screamed. I had tears in my eyes laughing because I know how I was tormented as a child. Mm-hmm. And I would hate when someone died because I knew that I was going to be dragged to the funeral. And I was going to probably be dragged to the coffin and say, look, there's your auntie, or look, this is your cousin, or look, this was my friend. Come look in the coffin. And I'm going home, and that same person that was laying in the coffin is in my bedroom. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why am I seeing dead people, you know, and things like that? Or, you know, God forbid, if I saw a dead animal laying on the street, a carcass or anything, I saw it in my room. And, you know, at night, it was like as soon as the nighttime came, all kinds of visitations would take place, and I could not understand why I saw everything so much and, you know, the battle, the spiritual battle that was taking place. Well, needless to say, by the time I turned 7 years old, I was having dreams. Ever since I was a little girl, I was always having dreams, as far as I can remember, maybe as early as 4 and 5. But one of the most vivid dreams that I had, it was two dreams that shook me up. The first dream, I was 7 years old when I had it, and my uncle, who was passed, he died actually when I was 8, but he was babysitting me, and he made me come in the house and take a nap, so I came in the house and take a nap, all of that stuff. Had a dream that I woke up from my nap and went back outside to play. And I saw this little girl, and her mother made her come in the house, and I went and knocked on the door and said, hey, I was playing with her. Can she come outside and play? And she said, no, she can't come outside, but you can come in. So I walked in the house, and there Jesus was. He was sitting in the chair. All he had was a piece of cloth wrapped around his waist. He was filthy. His skin was messed up. That was the best way I could describe it. It was just, there was no word to describe what he looked like. And his flesh was hanging almost from his body. He just had whips, bruises, and all of that. And her mother invited me in the house, and I came in. The mother was beating on him, and her father was beating on him. And I was like, God, what in the world? Why you allow me to see this? What is this? And Jesus broke away from them, reached his hand out to me, and said, Sharonda, help me. And my reply to him was, I'm 7 years old, and all of y'all are adults, and how am I supposed to help you? You know, and he asked me again, and all I remember doing was taking his hand. That was the first dream. Never understood that dream until I fully accepted my office. Now, that was at age 21. So the next dream after that, from the age of 7 years old, I can promise you, every single month from the age of 7 all the way up to maybe last week, I have dreamt of tornadoes. Except there's a difference. All my life, in my dreams, I ran from tornadoes. I ran from twisters. I was taking cover. I was just running, 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 running in my dreams. But in reality, when I wake up, if I had to go to a funeral, I would stay away from the coffin, or I didn't want to go to the funeral, didn't care who died. I used to say, well, God, you're going to have to help me, because if my mama died, I'm not going to her funeral because I don't want her visiting me. You know, all of these different things would take place. Well, go home in a dream, and I would see tornadoes all the time, so much so that I would be tormented. There were times I dreamt of tornadoes, and Memphis was under tornado warnings. Well, needless to say, one day I went and got godly counsel, and this is when God birthed the anointing for me to interpret dreams. I said, Lord, what is it about the tornadoes? Why am I seeing these twisters? And why is it that every time I wake up, I'm in fear? My body is trembling. I feel like my bed is shaking, things of that nature. And the woman of God told me, she said, well, I can't interpret all your dreams because, for one, you have way too many dreams in one day for me.
She said, and two, I'm about to teach you. She said, for every symbol that you see, get a concordance and look it up in your concordance and find scriptures on it. If it does not line up with the word, she said, then it is not God. If you can find it in the word and if you can line it up in the word, 9 times out of 10, your message will be in there. And that's how I learned to interpret my dreams and visions and plus my relationship with Christ, because sometimes it doesn't always mean what you think. So when I looked up Twister, when I looked up Tornado, she said, what's another name for tornado? I said, Twister. And she said, Sharonda, let's be real. Will you find Twister in the Bible? I said, no. She said, then what would you see? I said, well, whirlwind? She said, now look up whirlwind. Would you believe, woman of God, that every single dream that I had dealing with the Twister or a whirlwind, the Lord spoke to me. He said, Sharonda, you have been running from me ever since you were 7 years old. You have ran and you have ran, and you told me you wanted this office, but you didn't know you was born. You were born. You were made for this office. But when you saw what the office really was about, you didn't want it. And when Apostle was saying that I operated out of the Shamar or the Shaphat prophet, that you, look, I said, how come I couldn't be a lyrical prophet, or how come I just couldn't, you know, just be a scribal or a didactic prophet? I said, why has got to be a Shamar or a Shaphat? Because every time I turn around, people almost hate to see me coming. You know, when you're a woman, you're a nurturer. You don't want that. But I had to learn. I really had to learn to stop. And like Apostle said, when you run, it gets more intense. It's already kind of funny as it is to be a prophet, because first of all, you're not like everybody else. Second of all, you're going to have what looks like to be prophetic mood swings, you know, when everybody else is normal. You're dealing with your hormones. You think it's your hormones, but it's God really moving through you, and you're seeing stuff. Ain't nobody else seeing anything. We're weird. It's already bad enough we have to deal with that. But just imagine to deal with that and you still running from it.
Mm-hmm.
It intensifies.
That explains a lot. So.
No. And I understand firsthand. I do.
It really does explain a lot, because it's been really, really hard. And because I know I was birthed into it, a lot of things that I've already encountered or situations that I've been saved from, God showed me in a dream, and he would always give me the dream 3 different ways. He would always show me something differently. So it's like people pick at me and they say, oh, you don't have dreams, you have movies. Well, I'm sorry, God may give me a movie. That's okay.
But then
I pull away from the prosthetic a lot, because I am not one of those that gives it. I don't patty cake. I don't sugarcoat.
Mm-hmm.
But when I step into it, I really allow God to take over. Sometimes I get a little fearful because of who I am. By nature, I'm a stern person.
And you know what it really is?
But I'm a stern person, and I get afraid that people are going to think, oh, here she come with another warning, or oh, here she come. She's going to scare us. Yeah. So I think that's why I really pull away from it.
Pray that the Lord deliver you from people. Pray that God deliver you from people. That's something I have to pray, because, see, you sound just like me in my process of running. And now Apostle's like, babe, Sharonda, did you have to say that? And I'm like, yeah, I did. We have one person right now. She's actually gone to convocation in Missouri, but she has a certain issue. And I'm just like, okay, God, one day you're going to release me. One day you're going to release me. So, and it gets frustrating because you want to release it in your timing, but you can't. And when you love somebody so much, when you want to see them do well, especially when you know they are an extraordinary person, that it's just, it messes with you when you see that they're not living at their potential. And you know what God is saying, but God's saying, this is what it is, but don't say nothing right now because I ain't ready for you to say it. And you're about to explode. Your guts is just about to be all over the table because you're like, look, you know. And finally, she called Apostle, and she said, oh, I'm just so this, and oh, Apostle, oh, Prophet, ah, blah, blah. And she said, should I do this, and should I do that, should I do this? And finally, the Lord said, cut her. And when he said that, without a thought in my spirit, in my mind, I said, look, this is what it is, and this is what you better do. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you think about it. If you don't do this, it's going to be that. Now, you pick and choose, and you do what you want to do, but this is what the Lord says. And you know what God says because you are a prophet yourself, and she is. Very strong prophet, but sometimes we struggle within ourselves. Now, had she called me about 3, 4, 5 years ago, I would have never said that to her.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been like, oh, wow, well, I'm praying. And, you know, because you don't want people to shun you because of the anointing that's on your life. I've learned to embrace that. And, you know, now I can honestly say that I'm really a loner. I don't have a lot of friends. I used to. And the more I began to embrace, you know, this anointing, the more I began to embrace the office, the more people pushed me away and the more people started cutting me off and the more people said, you need to go see a psychiatrist and something is wrong with you and everything. How in the world? One time, let me tell you something. This was, and now I'm really being transparent, and I hope I'm not really pushing my time or anything, but one time in my first marriage, when I tell you, we had a tornado that touched down in Memphis, Tennessee, and the Lord told me, and I had a house full of company, and the Lord said, go outside and speak to the wind. And I'm looking like, we need to be taking cover. The mall that this tornado tore up, I mean, it tore this mall up. The mall was walking distance from my house. And the Lord said, go outside and curse the winds, curse the tornado. Now, this is a part of the reason why I dream about tornadoes so much, because my anointing, it actually works with it works with the winds. It works with, you know, with the disasters that take place in the earth. God has given me that authority. It works with the elements of the earth is what I want to say. That's the word I'm looking for. So when I go outside, I went outside, and I'm like, Lord, you want to help me? And people were like, oh, my gosh, Sharonda, we got to take cover, get in the house. We got to get in the bathroom. And, bro, you're going to die. Oh, my God, we're going to miss you. And people were trying to get me in the house, and I stood outside, and I cursed this wind, and the wind started picking up even stronger, and I stood, and I said, the devil is a liar, the Lord said, and blah, 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 scripture. When I heard this tree snap, I was running in the house, but I was still praying. I was still praying, and by the time I made it in the house, the wind stopped.
Wow.
It came to a complete stop. That was not me. There was nobody else around me. There was nobody but the Lord. But those people in the house was looking at me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I lost a friend that day because she thought I was a nutcase. You know, and she was like, wow. You know, she was cool while she was there. And once she left, I have not seen her since.
Wow.
And, you know, that happens. But when you embrace it, the more you embrace it, believe it or not, the more peace you're going to have, even in your circle, your inner circle, with your family, because people will start getting to a place where they won't invite you to a lot of stuff. And, you know, sometimes it gets lonely. And sometimes the downfall part of it is sometimes the wrong people will run to you because they'll start treating you like a psychic. And then you have to have a line of rebuke for that and teach them and be like, well, you know, this is what the Lord is saying and this is what this office is meant for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, that's where I'm at right now, so.
I know. I understand.
People are dropping off, so that's where I'm at right now.
I understand.
Amen.
I understand.
Amen. Well, God bless you, woman of God.
Thank
oh,
you.
God bless you.
Thank you so much.
I have someone on the chat line want to make, they actually made a comment about the master prophet.
Oh, Lord, okay.
And they said that they know of someone that calls themselves a master prophet. By his reasoning for is that master prophet means one whose calling and gift, meaning he has the ability to teach and train. That's what they said.
Right. It's the same argument as Chief Apostle. I wouldn't have so much a problem with it if the person calling themselves a master prophet wasn't dabbling in witchcraft.
That's my point.
Wouldn't have a problem. Too much.
But I'm trying to understand why they got
to
have five names anyway.
I only know one master prophet. That's Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
There's only one real chief apostle and archbishop. All that. It's Jesus Christ. We get caught up with stuff that with titles that God didn't give us.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen so many people that took biblical names and just, I'm the master builder, I'm this, that, and the other. That's great, but your fruit don't, well, what have you built? What are you building? Who are you building?
Exactly.
Besides
wow.
a name.
I have a
just one of these titles.
I do have a prayer request on the chat line, but I want to ask a question.
Okay.
Can you explain to the people what is the difference? I know what the difference is because you got the prophet and you got the psychic, and it's almost like the spirit of truth and the spirit of error run hand in hand. And a lot of times psychics are gifted, but they're using it for their own gain. And how can a prophet, being God, and easily go over into that area? If I'm making sense. Because I know some prophets that were strong, and next thing you know, they're kind of like over into their area.
One of the things the Bible talks about is, this is where, because Balaam, believe it or not, was originally a prophet of the Lord, and Balaam disobeyed, and he sold out.
Mm-hmm.
He stopped really, really being in the prophetic because God called him to, and he started doing it for money. And there's mm-hmm. such a thing called a diviner's fee, and that's where people a lot of times will start them to go over onto that side when they're really accurate prophets, but then they start hitting and missing, and then they start raising offerings and $1,000 offering here and a $5,000 offering there, and then all of a sudden some stuff can be true, but it always has something eerie linked to it, and they start stepping into what is called spiritualism and become a spiritist and a psychic and a soothsayer rather than a prophet. And you got to understand, the prophet's first job is not necessarily to prophesy as it is to equip the body through the prophetic to get someone to God. It's not just saying, I see. So a lot of times it's pride, number one, and then it's greed. Greed for a name, greed after money. And then all of a sudden, where you used to hear about this prophet a whole lot, you don't hear about them so much anymore because they sold their birthright. And selling your birthright doesn't mean going and just joining another group or changing your title name. You can change your title as many times as you want to, but if you're functional and you operate, people are going to call you what they see anyway. But people really sell their birthright when they begin to operate in the spirit of Balaam for money. You know, that's what happened to, you know, somebody should have caught the spirit. You know, Elijah passed his mantle to Elisha, and Elisha wanted to pass his mantle to Gehazi. But he couldn't do it because Gehazi had a money-hungry spirit.
Yes.
And he said, where have you been? He said, I was with you. I was coming. He said, no, I was with you. I saw you turn back from Naaman when you left him. Don't you know my spirit goes with you?
Wow.
What's on me is a little bit of what's on me is on you. So I know where it's just like having a child. You don't know, but you know. They ain't got to say a lick to you, but you know where they've been, what they done did, what they said, what they didn't say.
Yes, yes.
And if a parent spirit is on a child, then when the father spirit is on us, what makes us think that he's not going to tell it?
Exactly.
And that's really what that's about. When people start stepping up in pride and arrogance and greed and power hungry and, no, it's my service, and I'm taking the mic, and then they begin to pull their spirit on people. Ooh, I'm telling you, that arrogant spirit got to die.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
More and more of that raise up, and those be the ones that's lost. Those be the ones that be looking on YouTube, copying up somebody else's mantle and their message, but they don't have one for themselves. What did God tell you? God's not telling everybody, Jeremiah 1. What did God tell you?
Exactly.
He called me to be a prophet. I was made a prophet in my mother's, Lord Jesus, prophet. You know I do voices. God help me. People trip me out with this.
You're right.
Because I'm like,
and I got a problem. And my thing is, how come they preaching the same thing for 20 years? The same message, the same exact thing for 20 years. God got to be talking if you say you're a prophet. He got to be giving you something different.
It's got to be something for it. It can't always, Lord Jesus. Something in it is always going to be about bringing someone back to God and about holiness, but it ain't always holiness. It ain't always on this particular sin. You can't always be preaching about, you know, against pimps and prostitutes, and it can't always be about drinking and liquor. We got to mature our job as prophets is to mature the body into the bride. And it can't happen if we always on sin. There's a time where we got to start instructing the people how to live victoriously.
Yes.
You know, how do I know you done told me about my sin and done called me out, but after you done called me out, what do I do after I'm out?
Exactly.
You know, my testimony isn't just where I've been. Where am I going, you know?
Well, before we continue, I have someone on the chat line have a prayer request.
Praise God.
And they said, the prayer request is, I would transition positions at work tomorrow and want to know what does God have in store for me? What is the next move?
I almost said up. I don't know who you are, but God is setting you up. Whoever it is, God is setting you up. Don't be fearful, whatever you are. Don't be fearful, because God's going to enable you to handle it. And we just pray right now, God, I pray, God, for the person on the chat line. God, they be able, God, not to just move up in the promotion, but God, they be able to receive it, because promotion comes from God. God, even in the workplace, God, I ask you to bless them. God, if it's not where you want them to be, you'll shift them, you'll move them. But I believe, God, that you're bettering them and their situation. God, I thank you, Lord God, for making provision for them. God, give them peace. And God, if there's no peace, shift them. But God, if you are in it, God, allow this that seems to be a hindrance turn into a blessing and let them be the better for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Wow, that's just something about it's so much when it comes to the prophetic until it takes. I've never been to the school of the prophets, but I would think it would take a while, because I do know some schools here, and it's like 6 weeks, 8 weeks. No, you're not going to really learn a lot in those 6 to 8 weeks. You know.
Those that are, see, a lot of times we got lay people that come to the school of the prophets, or other people that are called that'll come. But if you're really, really in the school of the prophetic, it really goes on for years. It's never just, oh, I have 4 weeks, bam, I got it. You know, it never hits you like that. I had my first school of the prophets here in Memphis, and it was supposed to be 12 weeks, and it turned into 16, 17 weeks because God just was doing so much in the people, just even with personal deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time we got down to our last activation, everybody was prophesying to everybody. And the spirit of prophecy hit that room. And it reminded me of when Saul went up to the high place where the prophets were.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back and became another man. And we have to keep going in the anointing until people become another man. You can't stay how you are calling yourself a prophet. You can't be cussing folk out, mean and evil, calling yourself a prophet. You know what I'm saying? Because we got some cantankerous saints. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Just as mean. And I want to say that too. Prophets aren't just mean, But prophets love. Sometimes it's tough love, but they love you like nobody else on the planet Earth gonna love you.
I know some prophets is mean and nasty. You scared to talk to them. You be shaking in your boots to go ask a question.
Jesus. Yeah, and that's not God, you know, not all the time. Some people, when I was coming up, God was on them so tough, you just didn't walk up to them. We ain't got that in church no more. Folks just walk up to you and shoot you in prayer service, you know, all that. You
know, I know,
but
right?
We got to get back to the real fear of the Lord and the reverence for the Spirit of the Lord. Again, Prophet wants to say something.
You know what? That's so funny because I remember, you know, coming up as a young prophet, I didn't know I was a prophet or prophetess for some people, but I didn't know. And I remember sitting in pews and prophets would come in just because they said, prophet so-and-so. You know how some pastors are. They get tired of certain things that goes on in their church, so they get a prophet that they're really good friends with. Probably gave them the scoop. They probably didn't. And they say, we're going to be in a three-night revival, and we're going to invite prophet such and such, and he's going to see everything. And I mean, he's going to see it. And as soon as they come in and walk down that aisle, you're just looking like, Father God, forgive me for everything that I did say or whatever. Woo-hoo! I don't care. God, I know I'm supposed to be on a three-day fast. I ate that pizza, so God, don't let them call me out. And, you know, and you're scared. That is not the spirit of Christ.
Oh, my goodness.
That is not God. Because if you're fearing the prophet more than you're fearing the Spirit of the Lord, there's a problem with that. And that person just may be tapping into witchcraft. Now, there may be people who may be intimidated when they see you coming because they know that you carry a word from the Lord and they know that they are literally in their stuff. But when it comes down to Jesus, one thing that I remember about Jesus is every time he caught someone in the middle of a sin, fear didn't grip them.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, think about the woman. She wasn't caught after adultery. She was caught in the act. She was getting a groove on when she was caught. But mind you, she was caught by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes that was about to stone her. Jesus came with compassion. Now, we always talk about the spirit of prophecy, and ultimately the spirit of prophecy is Jesus Christ. So you have the spirit of prophecy for us to be prophets on the inside of you. Where is your compassion? And you know what? I was brought up hard. You know, Apostle will tell you, I was brought up very, very harshly when it came down to intercession. They didn't play with us. It was all, you would have thought we was bulldogs, the way they treated us when it came. But they also taught us, as much as we didn't see it, but they also taught us, if you don't have compassion for the person that you want to prophesy to, if you don't have compassion for the person that you're about to pray for, it's better that you don't say anything to them at all, because God would check you. And sometimes we get these people in the church who swear up and down, I'm a prophet, and I'll call it out, and I'll tell you, you're going to hell in a minute. Well, I thank the Lord that God's not like that. I mean, yes, God is a God of wrath. God is a God of judgment. Yes, he is. And he's going to show America judgment, pointblank.com. However, God is still a God of love.
Yes.
God still is long-suffering. God still loves us unconditionally.
Yes.
And I would much rather see the judgment of God any day than to see the wrath of God. And we're so quick as prophets to cast judgment on people. And please, let's not get this twisted, because I know this is a Blog Talk Radio show and a lot of people are not listening because of the election. They're scared, shaking in their boots. They're probably going to come back and they're going to listen to this after the election. So let me just clarify for those people that when I say casting judgment, I don't mean like, oh, you're doing this and you caught me in sin, so I'm finna judge you. And I'm not talking about a judgmental spirit. Sometimes we're so quick to be judgmental to a person that we don't judge the spirit and we don't judge the situation. There's two different types of judgment. So we have the right to judge, but not with a judgmental spirit to a place of condemnation.
Yes.
And anytime, me being a prophet, if I ever come to anybody and condemnation hits them and they just feel like they're the lowest thing on the earth, then it's not a problem with them. There's a problem with me.
Mm-hmm.
And wow. I have some of my spiritual sons and daughters. They hear me, and I rebuke them. And like I tell my spiritual daughter right now, I will cut the fire out of her. However, she always know. About 3 minutes later, we laughing and joking. Like, girl, I can't believe I said that, but you know it was God. And she's like, girl, I knew it was God. Because she knows that I love her, and she knows, and I know that she loves me. It's just like spiritual parenting. I mean, not spiritual parenting, but it's just like natural parenting when it comes to prophets. Your child going to do something, and they get out of order. You take a belt, you whip their behind, but that child still know who mommy is or who daddy is, and they
That's
love
right.
their parents and don't want to see anything happen to them because they know, okay, I got to whip it, it hurt, but I know they love me.
Yes, yes, yes.
And
when you know they love
me
you,
from killing
myself. A lot of them don't love you. They just want to cut you to the quick.
Right. You know, just cut and go, out, cut you out, cut you out, cut you. I'm like, we got so many mafia prophets.
You know, we got
like,
so many bleeding people. You got so many bleeding people, so they hemorrhaging.
Well, the more that these so-called prophets slay people, the more blood they'll have on their hands.
Exactly.
And if they want that responsibility, then be my guest. But I can't do it. Because anytime I hit my son Michael and draw back blood, the Department of Children's Services has every single right to take them from me and take me to jail. That's
yes.
just in the natural.
Yeah, yeah.
Now let's try it in the realm of the spirit. Now how much more will the Lord look at you? Not just being a prophet, just being a leader, period, to where
mm-hmm.
you draw your sword and you cut a person to their bleeding, as in the spirit of condemnation, God's
mm-hmm.
going to say something to you because what you do to his least ones, you have done unto him.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, prophetess, I have someone on the line that I'm going to take their call.
Okay.
Hello, caller, you on the line.
Hello, how you all doing tonight?
Fine, how are you?
I'm good. I'd just like to thank you all for having the call and thank God for the man and woman of God on tonight. I usually don't do, you know, call in and talk to people about my dreams and things like that, but on tonight I just felt led to do so. And some things has been very, I would say, just been weighing on me for a while now. But I will just first start off and say that I as a child growing up, I had always experienced the night torture and things like that. And I had a lot of end time prophetic dreams where you know, fire coming out of the sky. And once I saw myself as a child being taken up, like maybe it was thought sort of something, seemed like the rapture, like spirits were going up into I saw a gate. It was like clouds in the gate, and I had this iron. I had an iron in my hand. And all I know is very hot. I sensed that it was just hot, like I wanted to drop it, but I continued. I went up with it. And that was maybe when I was maybe 9 or 10. And since then, I realized now I'm now 22 years of age, and maybe maybe a year or so ago, I realized that God was saying what I got from the Holy Spirit, saying then that he was coming back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle, and that I was somehow being an instrument in the reformation process. And I'll just give you a little more background information at this point. Now I am taking classes, training classes for, you know, School of the Prophets, things like that. But there has been, I heard Apostle talking like some couple weeks ago on end time events and things like that, because when I first began to notice some more of my gifts and strength in it, it was about President Obama. I'm one of the people that didn't vote in the election this year and maybe was criticized a bit for that from my family, kind of like, you know, look at me crazy, think I'm weird, of some things like that. They just don't understand me. That's okay. But at the same time, I first began to see things. I would see things, and they would begin to happen in the spirit. They would begin to I would see. I would dream them, and they would occur, things like that. And so maybe a year, 2 years ago, I saw this event concerning President Obama. And then a couple, maybe a month or so ago, I had a dream in which it concerned the government. My grandmother, I saw my grandmother, and she was saying that, you know, there was some things. She was very upset, and she was saying that President Obama, that was going to upset. It was going to upset people. It was the one time that was going to upset, I guess, the nation. And so I just felt led to not vote. Now, on today, my grandmother passed this morning. So I don't quite understand exactly what's going on, but I know that, you know, God has really been speaking to me concerning some things. And I listened to the call maybe 2 nights ago, Monday night. You guys were talking about the incubus, talking about things like that. But I remember as a child, maybe 9 or 10, 11, I picked up a very lustful spirit. Somehow I began watching pornography, things like that, masturbation, up until now recently, like a couple months ago, I just decided, like, I don't want to do it anymore. You know, throughout everything I had, you know, sexual things, I threw them out today. And I have a dream that I felt led to share that occurred, must have been on the 4th, right after the call, Prophetess Sharonda, I was listening to you all online, and I fell into a deep sleep. So during that time, I began to feel the shifting in the spirit, which I feel at different times of the night, whenever God just, you know, feel like so. I began to feel this continuous shifting in my spirit during this dream. And
just to cut you off, just one quick second. Did you fall into a deep sleep? And this is a strategic question. Did you fall into a deep sleep while you were on the call?
Yes, I believe I didn't even.
See, that's
God. You guys were still talking. Okay, you guys were still talking, and I had my headphones in probably, and I just went into a deep sleep. And so I began to have this experience of shifting. And one thing, I wrote it down as best as I could write it down. I saw Juanita Bynum. I began to see her preaching, okay? And she had on, like, this gold, like, this African attire. All I remember, it seemed like she was a little older, okay? And I saw her preaching. Then on another circumstance, I saw her one day, and I began crying. I began overflowing in tears, okay? And then even now, it was just weird, crazy shifting as things. The next thing, I was just thinking in my mind, like, different places I would go, and then I heard a voice in the background. It was almost like, you go to Philadelphia, you go to California, you go to Arkansas. I'm from Arkansas. I'm from a little town in Arkansas called Marianna. It's about an hour from Memphis. Okay, and so then I began hearing some more. Go ahead.
Marianna is not even an hour from Memphis. My spiritual daughter,
right,
who's sitting in front of me, lives in Marianna, Arkansas. That's only a 15-minute drive. You were tapping into the atmosphere of this house.
Listen, that's really weird. But this is, okay, I began thinking of the generation. One of the things I'll tell you, like, well, let me just go ahead and finish this dream. I began thinking of the generation, the customs, the popular, what I write down, systems, okay? The Greek system was one of them, okay? I said, I was talking to, there was a voice that was talking to me, and I was talking. I didn't see anybody, but I heard it was like a lady's voice, and I said, they feel as though, I'm talking about young people of today, I said, they feel as though they were taught, they're doing the right thing. The voice responded back to me, that's why I want to talk to you. And it then said, you were mentor in Memphis. And then I saw what seemed to be like a Twitter page or a computer screen, and it had like a female's age 14 to 15. Okay, and then I had another shifting, and then I was in my house asleep with my sister. That kind of took me back to my childhood. Then I saw my mom, because I jumped up. It was like I wanted to jump up and get out of bed during the night. Around 1 o'clock, I thought it was 3 o'clock, but my mama said, no, it's only 1 o'clock, it's not time yet. So I just want to know, you know, what you all might say that you can get from God tonight on that.
Okay.
I don't know.
This is what I would like for you to do. Probably at the end of this call, I have ministry information that I'm going to hand to you, that I'm going to, you know, just announce over the call line. But one thing that I want to tell you, and I have not addressed this as well so much, just the more that people call in and the more that people chat, and the questions that they ask, it reminds me all the more of the things that I have to discuss concerning dreams and visions. I was in a prayer meeting one time, and the Lord allowed me to fall asleep in the prayer meeting. And this prayer meeting was in someone's house, so I can just only imagine. And it was like 15 people in this room, and we were all in there, and they were praying, and I was snoring. I was asleep. I wasn't even tired. I just drifted off into a deep sleep. And the woman, she woke me up, and she said, I normally don't allow people to sleep in my prayer meetings. She said, but the Lord told me not to disturb you. And she said, and I want to ask you, what did you see? And the Lord began to show me, this was maybe about 10 years ago, the Lord began to show me celebrity deaths. I saw Richard Pryor. I saw, I can't think his name, the Superman guy. I saw him. Some of the people who I saw were already dead, but these were other people who I did not see, who were not dead that I saw in a dream who died. All the way up to names of people who are still living right now, but I saw them in that dream. And I must have seen about 15 people, and maybe about three of them are still alive, so I won't bring up names because you don't want to pronounce anything over their life or anything like that as a prophet.
Right.
So with that being said, I'm telling you that to tell you this. How can I say this, Lord? I'm trying to find the perfect way of saying this. There are times where you will get in an atmosphere that's so prophetic to where whatever anointing that you operate in, wherever is your heaviest anointing or wherever your gifts lie, that gift is being cultivated. The anointing that you're most heaviest in your life is being cultivated when the atmosphere is being stirred. I think Apostle's looking at me, so I'm hoping I'm wording this right. So, for instance, we're on the line, we're talking about dreams and visions and things like this. Everybody's not a heavy dreamer. But some people, God literally put to sleep so that he can relay a message to them. And what happened to you, God put you to sleep on purpose. And sometimes, even when we have prayer meetings, there are times, which it has not happened, but let me say it this way, it has not happened. So I'm very much prepared for the future sons and daughters who may come to our prayer meetings and may fall asleep, because there are times God will put them to sleep and will give them a word, and they wake up and they prophesy, because that's his way that he wants to deal with that person. Because some people, God deal with them strictly in dreams and visions. That's me. If I'm prophesying, 9 times out of 10, it's because I saw it in a dream. The Lord put me to sleep while Apostle was talking to another one of our daughters on the phone. And they were just talking, and I just sat on the sofa listening to them and fell out. I mean, it was like I was knocked out. For about, how long was I asleep when you were talking to prophets? Maybe about 5 minutes. And I woke up, I can't remember the name now, but I'm just going to make up a name. And I asked Apostle, I said, who is John? And he said, I don't know. I said, ask prophetess, who is John? She said, John who? I said, ask her, who is John Doe? And she said, oh, my God, that's my brother. She was like, that's my brother. I said, okay, what is this thing going on with his mouth? It's something, and God had me patting my jaw because I couldn't really get it out. I said, something bad, something happened to his mouth. And this girl just really went up in the praise because her brother was in a really bad accident. And when I say he had to be fed, you know, by a straw, tubes and things like that, because his mouth was messed up so bad, and now that he had all this jaw surgery and things like that, he still had problems out of his mouth, but he can eat and everything or whatever. I said, I saw a hand go in the man's mouth, and his name was John Doe, and I heard the voice of the Lord call his name out, first and last name, and I saw God take his fist and put it in his mouth and healed his jaw. All because, and so God will do that. And basically what the Lord did with you, you fell asleep because the Lord put you to sleep and you tapped into the atmosphere of this house. Just for you talking about Memphis, talking about a 15-year-old girl, I'm not certain who you saw, but a lot of people look at my spiritual daughter, and she's about to be 24 within the next month, and people mistake her for a 15 or 16-year-old girl. They say, oh, you're so pretty, you just look so young, and I know you're too young to understand this. And she's looking like, oh, 24, what are you talking about? You know, I'm a grown woman. You know, people don't understand it, but she won't tell you. She'll just let you think that. And so just from you saying that, in the same sense, talking about Marion, Arkansas, we make trips back and forth. It's a 15, maybe to a 20-minute drive outside of Memphis. It's really a 5-minute drive outside of Memphis. Yeah. And once you're outside of Memphis and you cross that bridge, it doesn't take you but a second to get there. Yeah. But from our home, it takes us about 30 minutes. And so you talking about Juanita buying them, you seeing Juanita buying them, I don't want to say that we have Juanita buying them DVDs galore. And whenever we just want to watch somebody preaching, we'll throw in one of her conference DVDs and hear different preachers and things like that. That's like, that's our eye candy. Our eye candy is her conferences, teachings, and things like that. Yes, she did some stuff or whatever. I mean, from your dreams to her being old, wearing African attire, this woman hardly ever preaches in the United States now because she's constantly back and forth in Africa.
Yeah.
My fiance, his spiritual mother is Juanita Bynum's spiritual mother, Apostle Vita Nichols. So when you was talking about, you was really tapping into the anointing in this house. Not to say, oh, we got Juanita Bynum's anointing. Not anything like that, because it's actually like her anointing is on the east side. We're all the way on the west. It's so different. But with that same spiritual parenting and things like that, and for our assignment, that was the way that God gave it to you. So basically you tapped into our spirit.
Wow. Amen.
And I'm going to say this one last thing, and the reason why, and I do believe this, and you may have covering, so we're not saying that, but I really believe that the reason why that happened to you is because there are impartations that we need to impart into you.
Yeah.
There's some things we have to give into you, and God is giving you confirmation. And just, you know, so that you can be certain and so that you can judge the word that we're saying to you concerning this, I would ask that you take this more into prayer and that you would consult the Father and allow God to give you more confirmation to that. But the reason why everything happens for a reason, there are things that we have to place in you as a prophetic dreamer, as a seer, and as a prophetess.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen. Does that answer your question,
and,
woman of God?
I mean, I don't know. It's just interesting because, I mean, I'm getting to the point where I'm growing more, you know, into the prophetic. So, I mean, you'll learn something new all the time.
Yes.
And but also the when Apostle talked about, this is one thing that I have been thinking about because Apostle also mentioned in that particular blog of the radio that week I'm talking about, he mentioned, like, he saw some things come out the sky. And then they look like tornadoes or something like that. But he also mentioned that they look like orchids and that they would announce things that would happen, things like, you know, prophetic sayings. And I also just want to mention to you, because with the whole Greek thing, I joined an organization called Theta Phi Sigma Christian Sorority, which is a prophetic organization, and which got me was the part about the orchids. He said they were pink, and that is our symbolization. That's just a part of, you know, every sorority has a flower, things like that. And I don't know. It just started getting to me, and to the point where I just was like, I'm going to listen to them more often. So, you know, it's just weird.
Wow.
I don't say seemingly weirdish. That's all I can say. And you begin to talk about the celebrities. I've been seeing celebrities, not saying the depth, but I've been seeing celebrities as well. And so I'm kind of like, okay, I don't know. This is just weirdish.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, God bless you, woman of God. We have one more dream that we want to try to get prophetess to interpret before we end this call. And she and they will give you, we're going to end it kind of early, but they're going to give you all of their contact information. So if you don't get them tonight, they'll give you their contact information. And also, before we go into this last dream, if you guys would like for me to have them on the show once a week or once a month, most of you are friends with me on Facebook, please inbox me. And we're going to make sure we make that happen, because I've really been getting a really large response with the man and woman of God on the radio show. So you guys, please, please let me know. Like I say, hit me up on Facebook. If not, you can email me at TianaCopelandMinistries@gmail.com. But just please let me know. Okay, we have one more dream someone wants to interpret on the chat line. And she says she's doing the short version. She says she was shopping with... Yes? Y'all hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. She says she's doing the short version. She says she was shopping with a friend. A friend picked up a pair of jeans and a long sleeve pink and white shirt. She said when I went to take the clothes to him to try on, he was wearing pink underwear. And I said, those were women underwear. He said, no. And she's saying, I guess you want to ask, does pink represent lust?
No, pink represents flesh. If you compare that to the natural, I just thank God for God giving me the vision to write this dictionary dealing with colors and symbols and things like that. The color pink represents flesh. It can also represent friendship because, you know, it can represent friendship because, you know, if you think about the carnation roses and things like that, they have different meanings, but I don't really get off into all of that. Flowers are flowers, you know, and if they're pretty, they're pretty. But for the most part, the pink part represents the flesh, and the reason why I say that is because, and God forbid if you do, but if you ever cut yourself and if you get rid of some of the blood, what color is your flesh majority of the time? It's got a pinkish color to it. When you see a scalp, if you knock a scalp off and you can see the flesh and it's exposed, it has a slight pink color to it. So it symbolizes flesh. It symbolizes, I hate to say this, but it symbolizes sin of some sort. It could be anything. And with the fact that this is underwear, these are undergarments. These are garments that are hidden. These are secret agendas or things that he's struggling with. I don't want to say that it's homosexuality. It could very much so be homosexuality, or it could be, I don't know why I don't feel homosexuality, but it could be, lust. It could be the spirit of lust, you know, because sometimes men do struggle, you know, with the fact that they're wanting to be with a woman and things like that. And so the reason why you saw that is because you need to really pray for your friend. However, you do need to understand this. Just because you saw that one individual does not necessarily mean that's the person that you're seeing. Because there have been many times where dreamers will come to me and they say, I dreamt that my mother, you know, did this. Or I dreamt my mother shot John, and then come to find out their uncle shot Joe, you know, or something like that. So with that, you have to really go into prayer. Ask the Lord, God, is this the person that you saw me with, or is this the person that you are showing to me? If it's not the person, who did my friend represent? If it's your father in a dream, it may not represent your biological father, but it could also represent someone who plays a father figure in your life. And if it's a father in your dream who does something that's full of wisdom, gives you lots of wisdom, or help you, or pushes you in a good way, or anything of that nature, then 9 times out of 10, it could be in between your father, if he was really a good man, to being Jesus Christ or being God himself coming in your dream and things like this. So be very, very aware that
the people who you see in your dreams may not always be that particular person, especially if you are a type of dreamer where you dream in symbols. Mm-hmm. And for this person to put on pink underwear and pink shirt, to me, with the fact that even though he has pink underwear on, but then he also had a pink shirt, I hope I'm getting that right, that also
yeah.
lets you know that whoever this person is you are referring to, whatever they're dealing with, it's not a secret. And this is a struggle. And if that person who you dreamt about does have a struggle, it could be obesity, it could be anything. Whatever mm-hmm. that struggle is, the reason why God is showing you is so that you can pray. But the first step to do is to go to the Lord and make sure that the person you saw in the dream, is this the one you're referring to? But whoever God tells you, he may say, no, this is your friend Jack. Okay, pray for Jack. Pray that he's delivered. You pray for deliverance. You pray that God covers him, that God ministers to him, that God will turn a stony heart into a heart of flesh, that he will receive correction, that he will receive the love of Christ to want to change from whatever it is that he's struggling with.
Amen. All right, you guys. Again, if you guys want me to have them on the show once a week or once a month, you can hit me up on Facebook or you can go on my website, which is tcopelandministries.com. And fill out the contact form, and we will definitely make that happen. Also, if you guys want to sow into their ministry, feel free. It's no pressure. Just if you want to, if God put it on your heart to do that, they're going to give you all their contact information now.
Amen. And the way that you can contact us through Transformation Ministries, this is our telephone number. It is area code 901-300-9039. And if you need a dream interpreted, if you need godly counsel, if you want prayer, anything, you can call either myself, Prophetess Sharonda, or you can reach Apostle Bowman, and you can meet with one of us as well. And also, you said
give that number one more time, Prophetess.
I'm sorry. And that number again is 901.
Mm-hmm.
300-9039.
Okay.
And you can also, if you get a voicemail, just leave a message, and we will be definitely checking those voice messages, and you will have someone that you will talk to that will set an appointment for you to receive godly counsel. Also, we have our email address, transformationprophet@gmail.com, and that is spelled TransformationProphet, Prophet, Prophet, @gmail.com. That's one word. And you also have another email address, ShamarProphets@gmail.com. And that's one word, Shamar, ShamarProphets@gmail.com. And if you want to sow, if God is leading you to sow, you can go to PayPal and you can enter in the email address transformationprophet@gmail.com. And one last thing, we also would like for you to go to our website, and that is, and hopefully you can get this in real quick, www.transformme2012.wix, which is wix.com/transformme. And that's one word.
Amen. Amen. So, again, if you guys want them back on the show or if you didn't get the information, you can always go on my website, which is tcopelandministries.com, and hit the contact form, and I will make sure that you would get information for Apostle and the Prophetess. And, again, this has really been a blessing these last 3 nights. I mean, God has really, really been moving, and I'm just so excited about what God is doing in this last hour. Let's not forget to pray one for another. And you guys, I will talk to you later, and be blessed.
We are so thankful you decided to join us this week. To keep up with ministry updates,
go to www.TianaCopelandMinistries.org and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/TianaCopelandMinistries. Join us next time and make sure you invite everyone to join us as well. We pray for you, you, and you, that the blessing of the Lord maketh it rich and addeth no sorrow with it. Proverbs 10:22. God bless.
Hey. Oh, my God. I'd be so nervous.